Following are comments on William Shakespeare's King Lear, Act 4. As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods. Edgar meets Gloucester and leads him towards the Dover cliffs. In Act 4, Scene 1, Edgar, now as his proper self, muses on the ways of the world. Quote unquote, "The lamentable changes from the best, the worst returns to laughter." Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 5 through 6. "There is a worst," thinks Edgar, "and from that nadir there's nowhere to go but up." But just then he catches sight of his blinded, suffering father, Gloucester. Edgar now sees that he was mistaken. Quote unquote, "The worst is not, so long as we can say, this is the worst." Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 28 through 29. Gloucester himself has abandoned any notion of a just moral order. He declares, quote unquote, "As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods. They kill us for their sport." Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 38 through 39. But Edgar still believes the gods are just, so his task will be to bring his father round to acceptance. In character as poor Tom, Edgar will do as his father asks and lead him to Dover's cliffs. This first scene prepares us for the Theater of the Absurd performance by Edgar and Gloucester that we'll see in Act 4, Scene 6. "You are not worth the dust which the rude wind blows in your face. Albany has had enough of his wife Goneril's plotting." In Act 4, Scene 2, Goneril reveals her contempt for her husband, Albany, who finally asserts his virtuous will against her plotting and declares, quote unquote, "O Goneril, you are not worth the dust which the rude wind blows in your face." Act 4, Scene 2, Lines 30 through 32. But Goneril's thoughts are for Edmund, quote unquote, "Oh, the difference of man and man." Act 4, Scene 2, Line 26. Albany calls Goneril a tiger, a devil, and a fiend. Act 4, Scene 2, Line 32.10, Folio 36 through 37. He realizes that the anarchic violence that now prevails must be stopped, or it will destroy not only Regan and Goneril, but the kingdom. If the current trend continues, he says, quote unquote, "Humanity must perforce prey on itself like monsters of the deep." Act 4, Scene 2, Line 32.19 through 20, Folio. If others will not help Gloucester, Albany will. "It is thy business that I go about." Cordelia makes a determined search for King Lear. In Act 4, Scene 4, Cordelia is gearing up to fight the British army coming against her French forces, but her chief care is to see that her father, Lear, gets the medical help he needs. Quote unquote, "It is thy business that I go about," she says to her absent father, echoing Christ in Luke 2:49, as the Norton editor's footnote number 4 indicates. Act 4, Scene 4, Line 23. "More convenient is he for my hand. Regan's plan to triumph over Goneril for Edmund's love gathers force." In Act 4, Scene 5, Regan shows her jealousy over Goneril's desire for Edmund and tries to enlist Oswald. Quote unquote, "My lord is dead. Edmund and I have talked, and more convenient is he for my hand than for your lady's." Act 4, Scene 5, Lines 30 through 32. Oswald is also told that he should kill Gloucester, lest he incite the people to compassion. Act 4, Scene 5, Lines 37 through 38. So we now know that Regan and Goneril are involved in a primal struggle for Edmund's attentions. "How fearful and dizzy 'tis to cast one's eyes so low." Edmund, Gloucester, and the Cliffside Theater of the Absurd. We know that earlier, thanks to Edmund's lies, Gloucester abandoned Edgar, The father credulously believed that the world had been turned upside down, and his fear of betrayal made him susceptible to that very danger. Now, in Act 4, Scene 6, the blinded Gloucester is in suicidal despair, but Edgar has a plan. He does for Gloucester what Cordelia couldn't do for her father in Act 1. He graces his way forward with a lie. Quote unquote, "How fearful and dizzy 'tis to cast one's eyes so low. The crows and choughs that wing the midway air show scarce so gross as beetles," he tells Gloucester, who sits contemplating his end. Act 4, Scene 6, lines 12 through 15. Lear's rash behavior has helped to make this kind of extreme performance necessary. Gloucester's fall, of course, is only onto the stage's bare planks, and it comes right after his bracing declaration, quote unquote, "Oh, you mighty gods, this world do I renounce, and in your sights shake patiently my great affliction off." Act 4, Scene 6, lines 37 through 38. In its desperation and circularity of action, this scene surely deserves recognition as a precursor of the modern theater of the absurd, so called by the critic Martin Esslin, spelled Esslin, in 1960, in discussing playwrights such as Samuel Beckett and Eugene Ionesco. But the purpose served is more traditional. Soon, thanks to Edgar's stellar effort to make Gloucester believe that his post-lapsarian survival is a miracle, the latter man finally achieves true patience. Quote unquote, "Henceforth I'll bear affliction till it do cry out itself, enough, enough, and die." Act 4, Scene 6, lines 77 through 79. A side-piercing sight. King Lear and Gloucester meet again. Still in Act 4, Scene 6, the newly patient Gloucester is confronted with a flower-decked King Lear, who apparently hasn't recovered his wits so well as everyone thought. Edgar calls him, quote-unquote, "a side-piercing sight," adding a Christ-like aura to our vision of Lear as a suffering, dying universal man. Act 4, Scene 6, line 87. Lear asks if Gloucester is, quote-unquote, "Goneril with a white beard," and rebukes his former ministers. Quote-unquote, "They told me I was everything. 'Tis a lie. I am not ague-proof." Act 4, Scene 6, lines 97 and 104 through 105. Everywhere Lear looks, he sees selfishness and demonic sexuality at the base of things. Quote unquote, "Let copulation thrive," he bellows, and declares of women, quote unquote, "Down from the waist, they are centaurs." Act 4, Scene 6, lines 112 and 122. This rant culminates in a dark vision of systemic injustice and hypocrisy, beginning with, quote unquote, "the great image of authority," namely, quote unquote, "a dog's obeyed in office." Act 4, Scene 6, line 153. See lines 152 through 166 inclusive. "The worst offenders," says Lear, "are the authorities, who are tasked with enforcing the laws and yet don't themselves obey them." King Lear's vision is as piercing as that of the romantic prophet William Blake. In his poem London, from the 1795 Songs of Experience, that author writes of a speaker who can hear, quote unquote, "how the chimney sweeper's cry every blackening church appalls, and the hapless soldier's sigh runs in blood down palace walls." Lear may be mad, but he has also become a, quote unquote, "fool" in the best sense. He is now able to share his insight into his own and others' follies. Unfortunately, Lear's eloquence soon peters out in an exhausted, enraged repetition of a single word, quote unquote, "and when I have stolen upon these son-in-laws," he promises, "the only word left to say will be," quote unquote, "kill," which the aged king repeats a total of six times with great intensity. Act 4, Scene 6, lines 180 through 181. As so often in tragedy, true insight comes at the cost of one's power to make anything right. The old king can't kill all of the bad actors who are by now running rampant. He can't stop what he set going. The sixth scene ends with Edgar finishing off Oswald, who has just stumbled upon Gloucester and tried to dispatch him for the prize Regan has offered. Act 4, Scene 6, lines 219 through 222 inclusive. In Oswald's purse, Edgar discovers Goneril's treasonous letter to Edmund, imploring him to kill Albany. Act 4, Scene 6, lines 253 through 259 inclusive. Edgar leads the vulnerable Gloucester to shelter. "Pray do not mock me. I am a very foolish, fond old man." Lear awakes to the reassuring presence of Cordelia. In Act 4, Scene 7, King Lear, awakened by his doctor, begins to recover his wits, but not without misgivings. He says to Cordelia, quote unquote, "You do me wrong to take me out of the grave. Thou art a soul in bliss, but I am bound upon a wheel of fire that mine own tears do scald like molten lead." Act 4, Scene 7, lines 41 through 44. With this Ixion-like figure, Lear is most likely alluding to his deep feeling of guilt over what he has done to his favorite and only loyal daughter. When Cordelia seeks his benediction, Lear begs her instead, quote unquote, "Pray do not mock me. I am a very foolish, fond old man." Ellipsis. "Methinks I should know you." Act 4, Scene 7, lines 55 and 61. He fully understands the wrong he has done to Cordelia, something he had begun to sense earlier, even as far back as Act 1, Scene 5, when he spoke the single line, "I did her wrong." Lear expects anything but love from Cordelia, whom he now recognizes, but she tells him gently that there is, quote unquote, no cause, why she should not love him. Act 4, Scene 7, line 73. In Act 3, Scene 6, Lear had to seek into the cause of his other daughter's hard hearts, but Cordelia's loyalty needs no dissection, no interrogation. Thanks for listening. The date of this audio recording is Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume, genre-based format.